Jeff, are you in Alaska?
He was hunting for rabbits all day.
Siberia. They finally caught up with me.
Oh, you're one of those Siberian shamans.
A husky.
A husky.
Did you have robust percussive thunderstorms in Massachusetts?
In my head.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
No, we didn't have any storms today.
All right.
You?
Yeah, we had some storms. We did. You know, like those kinds that shake the house.
Really? We just had rain here.
Really?
Yeah, Ottsville, there weren't really, you had like thunder and.
Yeah. Yeah. Last night and this morning, yeah.
I can't remember as far back as last night, but.
I know.
During the day.
Yeah.
I do not recall.
Huh. Where's Suzanne? She's usually here.
Could be that they're on to me, dropping off like flies.
Onto the scam.
Yeah. That guy's a scammer.
I'm pretty gullible, so.
Yeah. Me too. That's why I'm still here. I want to believe in something. Yeah, Beth picked up a copy of the Omega catalog for the summer season, and I started feeling inadequate even before she brought it back to the car. And she started reading stuff off, and it got worse.
Yeah.
The Omega Institute in New York?
Yeah.
My wife went to that once.
Uh-huh.
So like the when the little Lego dude compares himself to Batman, he wants to date the girl, you know? It's that same feeling.
It is, yeah.
Oh. How am I going to compete with that?
Yeah. The Four Agreements. John of God. Adya Shanti, Byron Katie, Locke, Kelly, Saki, Santarelli.
They're just so cool.
How do you get to be that fucking cool?
I'm so not cool. I don't know.
I mean, what do you have to do to be that cool? Maybe you have to publish a book or something.
Well, you got enough stuff, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I think you have to just be somewhat personable, so it's out for us.
That's out. That's right.
Diary of...
The Diary of a Lost Cause. My life in Advaita.
There we go.
Is that that's the sequel to I Am Fat?
Yeah. After I Am Fat.
No, let's really get down to business.
Yeah. I wish you could derive something from all this. Look on the bright side. It'll bring all those coal jobs back, and we'll be like China in no time.
Yeah, we'll have factory cities. It'll be great.
It'll be great. It's going to be so great.
You can send your kids to work. That could be cool.
Yeah. Yeah. We thought we had at least a good 9 years left. That may have been optimistic.
Way optimistic. They're like, oh, yeah, Trump presidency, we didn't, that never really crossed our minds, so.
Yeah, we got to factor that
We've
in.
Now,
you got about 3 months. You got about 3 months. You might want to put your affairs in order.
You just, like, guess the same time at the random. That's not good.
That's why suffering is so funny, you know. It's like, suffering doesn't matter much, all that much, really. It's the time value of suffering that hurts so much. You know, it's like, oh boy, this is gonna be bad for a long time. Not really.
Yeah, like 5 minutes later, I forget about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends how seriously you're taking whatever it is, because, you know, you can imagine early.
The net present value of myself is suffering. It's a bad formula. It's like bad Quaker. The good news is it's going to get worse. It's really hard to shake the bubble of time, the bubble of self and time, the bubble of experiencing and implications.
Yeah, it just keeps, just seems to keep recreating itself in imagination.
Yeah.
Because it's not made of any, you know, it just is, switch around so fast, you're like, oh my God. Like, entirely.
Yeah. Spins you into a frenzy.
Yeah, convince you of anything, apparently.
Yep.
That really wipes clean that whole, incremental, you know, kind of things. Little bits of things happen on top of each other, and they kind of just keep accumulating in some manner. And it's like, no, this just like can wipe itself completely clean in an instant and dress itself. It's like, done. You're like, what?
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, working with a good Barbie or Ken doll. You can take all their clothes off really fast. So they're starting from scratch. You can dress them from scratch.
Or the Lego guys where you can erase their face.
Oh, that's nice.
And then redraw it.
Yeah. It's like the content of mind fails to see that it's being drawn in a void. So it gets all excited about the content of itself not noticing that it's being, you know, drawn and simultaneously erased in a void.
It's like today I was watching like all the raindrops, you know, and if you stare at a puddle or something for a while and just a very single pointed stare, you'll start to see patterns.
Oh yeah.
Are like fractally just bouncy kind of patterns all over. They're like, well, that's like content, but it's just bouncy, sparkly, bizarre.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's what the whole world is made of.
Yeah, and it's fast. It's like, there's nothing, it's just bouncy. Like imaginary, you know, Rorschach black patterns or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have like a little Russian thing going on, Jeff.
Yeah, I like to do themes from time to time. I was feeling all Rasputin.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, Rasputin.
I think that's popular right now.
The Rasputin look?
Coming back.
Oh, it is coming back.
Yeah. We'll all be wearing those hats soon. And definitely. You'll be like the coolest guy in town. They'll be like, yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, you don't want to be a trend follower. You want to be a trend setter. Yeah, so, you know, saying something like, how about that non-duality is not that much different from saying, how about those Golden State Warriors?
How about those non-dualists?
How about those non-dualists? What's the score? Who's in the semifinals? Nirgun Jahn?
Are they leading against the Kashmir Shaivists?
Yeah, that's right.
How's my bracket?
Yeah, who's going to get the trophy? You know, I mean, we're so intrusive. We've even got cameras focused on a, you know, giraffe's quim just to see how quickly it'll give birth.
Oh, yeah, there's like eagles' nest cams all set up, you know.
It's like performance anxiety all over the place.
I know, I find myself talking to myself at people's houses and I'm not thinking about what I'm saying, you know, and I'm like, am I being recorded? Like, should Jesus. I watch what I have to say everywhere I go?
Yeah. You have to be politically correct, even in your own imagination.
I feel
you never
like
know.
I feel
you
like
never know who's watching.
I know. It's like
even in the privacy of your own head, you don't know if they're like, you know, farming your data so that, you know, you go outside and a billboard will change for something you just imagined. You're like, whoa.
It sounds like that. There's a sound that is just like buzzing all the time that sounds like a electric something that could, you know.
That one sounds like in Black Mirror for sure.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever see that show?
Mm-hmm. I saw one episode.
This one?
Yeah. I know. I'm not really a show. I can't. I don't know.
The first one was the most obscene thing I've ever
seen. Oh, that was disturbing. I didn't watch it for a long time after that. I thought, this is what it feels like. I don't think I can handle it. But then sometimes your options run out. You're like, why don't we put on that other show again?
Yeah, it's worth the risk to be disturbed. Yeah, there's this kind of remarkable silence. There's like it's just a curious, really empty space of perfect silence in which, you know, all noise occurs. And we become fascinated by the noise. We track the noise, you know, follow the bouncing ball, pay attention to the noise. That's what the self is made of. The self is just made of noise. But it's underneath the noise. There's no content. And they, if there are they, you know, curiously live concomitantly or live harmoniously or even live disharmoniously.
Who are they?
The noise and the silence that it appears in.
Do you hear, when you're really quiet, do you hear a background noise that is constant? It's like a white noise?
Yeah, sure.
So you,
yeah, that's what I was trying to talk about with the electric. It sounds like electricity. I don't know how to describe it.
But obviously, that's not silence because you hear it.
Well, then not. Yeah, I mean that. Yeah, that goes, or can go. Even the fuzz.
Yeah, when you go into a deep, like, if you're working on someone energetically or something, and they go into a deep state of relaxation, I guess it's like sleep, but it's not actually sleep. That's silent.
When I listen to that.
Yeah.
Silence, it reminds me of sleep. It's like, oh, that's what I in sleep is just that.
Uh huh.
I mean,
yeah. Well, I mean, silence is kind of a little bit of a slippery word.
Yeah. It never is like nothing.
Yeah, because there's a certain vacuity, which curiously, you could say accompanies presence.
It's not body sensation.
No.
It doesn't have anything to do with hearing.
No.
It's completely off.
Yeah. 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 Noiseless. It's noiseless. And even that, you know, that fun kind of consciousness buzz, it doesn't register. So with that, you know, quality of silence or vacuity being noticed, then the movement of time and the movement of self and the movement of content and resolution or implication, well, you know, it collapses. because all of that is noise. You know, time is noise. Space is noise, implication, sensation, the things that appear to define a body or a person as the enjoyer or sufferer of continuity, is all noise. You know, the tension, you know, the tension field of being biological, the tension field of being worthy or unworthy, or the beneficiary of good luck or the sufferer of bad luck. That's all, that's just tension. That's all noise. And it seems that as that silence can be noticed, that quality of silence can be noticed, then the default or reflex association with one's biology, well, it softens, it lapses. Fear of death, you know, lapses. Because the vacuity is, it's not anthropomorphized. And it's strange. It's not anthropomorphized, and yet it has a certain kind of, we call it a signature, a certain kind of confidence. Yeah, it's a very confident signature, though it doesn't anthropomorphize. So what we usually associate with as the fear of death or the fear of cessation of my biological self, which relies upon noise, you could say is no longer perturbing. Yeah, because you're not the noise. And that silence is not made of being born, so it's not afflicted by the imagination of what we might refer to as physical death.
It's not a creature in a realm looking for safety and security and
it completely subsumes
by themselves in space, like looking for numbers of people to
yeah. It does. It subsumes the assignment of creature. I mean, it's way, you know, you could say it's way, these are, of course, all, you know, kind of superfluous value or measurement judgments,
What else is there?
Yeah, I know. It's like, it's like everything that's going on in the Omega catalog, for instance. That makes you feel has, you know, terrible performance anxiety and makes you feel bad about yourself in terms of how little spiritual progress you've made. But it just flatlines all that. It just takes all the goofiness of, you know, spiritual celebrity and adult summer camp completely off the table, and you're like, yeah, nobody no one's going to talk to you. No one cares about you. This is so not human. So not human that it just has no practicality at all. it's all that there is, but it has no practicality at all because humans are fucking stupid.
Told summer camp with tents.
Exactly.
Omega is. That's funny. Yay, and a lake.
Yeah, there's a lake.
Yoga.
That's right. You can have an affair and go swimming.
At the same time.
At the same time. I was at Omega one night, and there was a huge ruckus. I was tenting. Of course, I was tenting solo. And there was a huge ruckus, and some woman had literally followed her husband to the Omega campus because he was there having some kind of affair with some other chick. And she was like, ripping his tent up and yelling at the guy, and the woman. And I mean, it was like this was 2 o'clock in the morning and it was like total mayhem in Tent City. When this gal finally caught up with her husband cheating on some other woman.
You must have loved it, right?
No, I was like, yeah, I love it here. It's so spiritual. He thought he was getting away for the weekend. Didn't work out.
I love when shit happens like that, when exciting things happen. I played a wedding last year. It was a great, great wedding, and everyone got really drunk. And at the end, there was a huge fight, and it lasted for like 15 minutes. And
holy
there was bottles
shit.
Breaking, and people were on the ground and glass. And I was just – it was far away from my equipment, and I was just inside just eating it up. I'm like, this is so good. This is so much better than the wedding was, even though it was a good wedding. Just as long as it's not near my stage, I just eat it.
Yeah, right. Don't break my equipment.
Yeah.
My guitars are expensive.
That's right. But for it to happen at a place like that is just so like, yes.
Wow.
Was it a fancy place or something?
For me?
Yeah, the wedding, was it a fancy?
It was in a tent. And it was there were tables with all the bottles for the bar on it.
Oh.
And they were at the bar, like family and mothers and everything in a big crowd as I was tearing down, and someone whacked someone right there. It was great. Anyway. At the Omega place, but it must be just like, no, this is life right here. This is God.
Yeah.
Right here. All the fun.
When I was there was some guy jumping on the cafeteria tables, screaming he was unhappy that Obama was getting the Peace Prize.
That's spiritual.
There's a lot of unstable people that go to that place.
That's all there is. That's
all there is.
Including the people that were there.
That's all there is.
I don't know. I'm so stable. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. All the presenters.
Until I'm not.
Yeah.
Some are more quietly unstable.
Those are the worst ones. You got to be careful for.
That's
yeah.
True.
Those are the ones that go ballistic.
Yeah. They go into theaters with guns.
It's not easy to shake, the pressure of becoming. Having, become somewhat unconsciously enamored of the noise. It's like all we know is noise, the noise of self, and the irritability that can accompany the noise of self, and a life full of anticipation and compromise and trying to reframe experience and get a good night's sleep and get my fair share of good shit. It's just so annoying. You can't shake it.
It was really annoying.
It's really annoying. Yeah. And the strength of that identity, you know, with the noise, the strength of that identity with the noise, which is, you know, the imagination of my life, so-called now, and all the things that happened to it, to me, prior to now, and then all of the unknowns that are supposedly going to happen hence, is enough to drive you crazy. Just drive you crazy, you know, with restlessness and irritability and uncertainty, you know, and behavioral frustration and disappointment.
Yep.
And then the you know, the urgency to ameliorate or medicate all of that frustration simply reinforces it all. 'Cause it's so zero that, you know, lifting even a finger to work something out it's just so fucked up. Lifting a finger to work something out is obviously just the reinforcement of the involuntary association with all of that noise. Because that creates time or reinforces time and space and self and birth and durability and death and implication and what's going to happen to me and what has happened to me and how will I be judged and has my cover been blown? Yeah, so it's like the whole matrix of becoming and the whole matrix of being continues to reinforce the illusion of itself through all the strategies or that are deployed to feel better about things. And that includes, you know, being successfully spiritual. As if the, you know, the meat puppet, you know, let's say the guru of your affection that week is a meat puppet that has, you know, accomplished something, that knows something, that has earned something, that now enjoys life in a different way than you could never dare imagine. And that reinforces it too. The myth of the meat puppet being the enviable enjoyer. It's so fucked up. That's why you get the Omega catalog and, you know, you're depressed for weeks. Because it's just a pile of successful celebrities that are enjoying life way better than you even deserve to. And then you're fucked. And so everyone that goes to Omega is fucked. And everyone that teaches at Omega is fucked. And all the promises that are made about living this way and living that way and living this way and living that way is just bullshit because it's not true. None of it's true. But, you know, they do have a lake.
And cute chicks doing yoga, in case you're into that kind of thing.
Man, they have cute chicks doing yoga. They got a lake. Yeah.
They have a decent organic buffet.
They got organic buffet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and then they've got like a bookstore, you know, and a gift shop. Yeah. And a cafe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can meet people.
Stanislav Grof hangs out there.
You could breathe with Stan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You could do rhythmic breathing with Stan. Yeah. If you're lucky, you could pick up a Tibetan secret or two. That's why this is so difficult, because you want to be counted. I mean, I want to be counted. I want to be noticed. I want to be, you know, hey, yeah, I'm in this too. Yeah, I'm making some spiritual progress. Yeah, I'm a new age guy. I'm eco-friendly. I'm working on my vegan thing.
I'm eco and Eckhart friendly?
I'm eco and Eckhart friendly. Yeah, right. I want to belong. You know, I want to read Francis Lucille. I want to be high.
Just keeps making shit up. It's like, oh, your IQ, your EQ, your CQ, your SQ. I don't know.
Your LGBTQ. I'm for stuff. You don't see one program at Omega that says, fuck this shit. Fuck this shit with the Night Sky Sangha guy. You don't see it. Everything has to be sold, you know, as a solution, as an enviable destination. So it continues to promote, right, the misery of self. And the further misery of self, imagining that there are a bunch of people that are not miserable, and why not you? How come it's like, come to Omega. How come you're still miserable? You're like, hey, I don't want anyone to know that I'm still miserable. I want to come here and be, you know, I want to be chill. Like, sorry, you're still miserable. But that's okay. We can help. It's bad. Leave people alone. Or at least tell them the truth. You know, this is a big VAT zero. This is the vacuity of silence. Nothing is going on here. Everything you think about, everything is fucking noise. That's it. Suffer like a dog, no big deal. Go to a meeting. Get a hot dog.
And now, free brownies for all.
Free brownies for all.
The end.
It's, you know, that horrible feeling of, you know, wanting to be the satisfied self. The free self. The emancipated self. The knowledgeable one. The spiritual one. Ew. Ew. Horrible.
Any kind of measurement made around the self is pretty much horrible.
It's horrible. Yeah, they should call it the Horrible Institute. The Horrible Institute, where we just teach you how to be either envious or miserable about being horrible. Can't wait to sign up. They have a lake. Fuck. You know, even the most pithy suggestions that are offered for, you know, why there is confusion, that they're not true. They're really not true. Even the most pithy, sublime suggestions or suggestions of causality as to why there is suffering or the why there is, you know, disquietude. Because we do this, or because we do that, or because we think this, or because we think that. It's just, it's not true. You know, because the moment someone gives you the, you know, some kind of reason, or cosmology, or chain of causality as concerns what you imagine consciousness is, it's just not true. But we go in search of, you know, remedies or solutions according to the accusations that have been made about us, by us, or by somebody else. Once I have a set of accusations, now I can attempt to grapple with what I've been doing wrong and therefore attempt to do it right or better or different. You're like, no, that's not going to work. It's not going to work because any accusation that's made is untrue. Any suggestion as to the causality of so-called separation is not true.
And how you feel about it from second to second. I mean, it's, you don't know how you feel about it. It's obvious. You're like, I don't, you know, you feel this way 1 second and then the next second you're like, I don't, you're not thinking, you know, you're in a whole nother planet. It's like, what?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's way worse than they, you know, than they want, than they would dare say. I mean, if Eckhart Tolle told the truth about shit, then what would be the point of listening to him anymore? If anyone told the truth about it, it's kind of like, what would be the point, except just for fun and camaraderie, about, you know, listening to so-and-so about it anymore? Because there ain't no reason for anything. Nothing's actually occurring that is holding you hostage or binding you to a certain way of being or feeling. You think at first maybe, you know, on this crazy spiritual journey, you feel relief. You know, you read the Buddha and you're like, wow, that shit makes sense. No wonder I'm such a, you know, insufferable dickweed. Because of, you know, craving and aversion and all that other shit. Boy, I'm going to get my compassion hat on as soon as possible so I can put an end to that. So you jump from one, you know, remedy to another remedy, from one cosmology to another cosmology. You know, you run out of Byron Katie's usefulness and you go to Kashmiri Shaivism, and you run out of that usefulness, you know, and then you go to Dzogchen and you run out of that usefulness. And you go to the next thing because you're always looking for, you know, who's the best diagnostician for why this feels like shit? If I can just get to the best diagnostician for why this feels like shit, I will have made some progress to make sure that this doesn't feel like shit for much longer. Like, good luck with that. That's just the noise. It's all the noise.
Avoid the noise. Wasn't that a thing?
Yeah. And you can't do nothing. You can't do nothing. You can pretend that one or other cosmology is better at diagnosing one's disquietude than something else, and so you apply yourself to one set of teachings as contrasted with another set of teachings, or one set of practices as contrasted with another set of practices, or do no practices. And it's like, no, 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 sorry, no again. Because as if there needs be a because, and there is no real because, the delusion of time, the delusion of individuation in time comes on you so quickly, so subtly, so suddenly that it makes it appear as if the delusion of self and time is durable.
Oh, it's always been there. That's how it feels. It feels
yes.
Like yeah. The most comfortable, best thing you've known. You've had it since you were like,
yes.
And you just
yes. The delusion of self in time appears to be durable and known by me for as long as I can remember. And it's like, no, I'm sorry, that's not true. But as long as we're enamored or seduced by self and time, then the whole crescendo or cacophony of my miserable life and all the things I've done wrong come pouring in, you know, like a giant, the giant molasses vat breaking, taking out everything in its path. See, that's where to look. You know, the myth of durability of self the myth of durability, the myth of experiencing. Because if you want to remedy it, you're fucked. It's already got you. It's like a chastity belt around your whole soul. There is no time. There is no space. But it's okay if there's time. It's okay if there's space. It's not that there is anything or not anything. It's just that any sense of conclusion, any sense of temporality or durability or spatiality or coordinate or emotional experience or physical sensation that appears to define you, right, as being individuated is just not the case. It's noise in the system. But there's no path to anything. Nothing ever happened in the first place. Like, where are you going? There's no path. There's no steps. There's no understanding even. I mean, seeking understanding seems like, you know, a really laudable, great idea in spirituality. It's like, no, it's not. Because understanding is just shit. It's shiest. Understand what? What about what? Even understanding itself, you know, the accumulation of understanding or the derivation of understanding is just, it's just rotten fruit. The anthropomorphization of noise is what this is. If it's anything, it's the anthropomorphization of noise. And you're not going to outsmart that by being a noise adjuster.
Just like turning up or down the volume on a song that you want to actually turn off. But yeah. You're adjusting the volume. It's like,
that's right. Yeah, pull the fuse.
Yeah.
pull
blow it up.
pull the cable out of the wall.
Take a grenade.
Yeah, sometimes you need a grenade. It's true. Once you go to the mind, or we can say the representational field, you go to the representational field, or you go to the cosmology maker. It's like that guy in the Matrix that has all the keys. That's the cosmology maker. As soon as the brilliance of your, you know, attentivity goes to the cosmology maker to get a key, you're toast.
Just keeps making new keys to different realms.
Yep.
So quick. Yep.
Before it's even finished cutting the key, it's got a whole new realm. Yep. Yeah. It's that scary. It's that formidable. there's something about, there's this, you know, call it a certain vitality, right? Whether it's that, you know, sweet white noise or just the vibrancy of curiosity, the vibrancy of aliveness, or the vibrancy of, you know, sentient attenuation. Just don't do anything with it. Don't go see the cosmology maker for a key. Leave it alone. You know, don't invest in it as better, more, less, suffering, comparison, validation, esteem. Just drop the keys. Leave it alone. And that's not so easy to do. The, you know, the hum of sentient assertiveness doesn't really know what to do with itself. So it goes to the cosmology maker, you know, for a story, for a genesis, for an outcome, for an explanation. And you could say it does so innocently, right? We keep enrolling the myth of ourselves, you know, innocently. Because we want what? We want a certain feeling. We want a certain confidence. We want the, you know, the bliss of an explanation. We want that warm, fuzzy feeling that we get when we have, you know, a good diagnosis, when we know what to do about ourselves. Is that it, right? We want to know what to do about ourselves, what to do with ourselves, and what to do about ourselves in, you know, so-called future circumstances to avoid the pain that we've known from the past. And that's the way that we, you know, that's the way that we go see the cosmology maker and bargain for a key. Hey, cosmology maker, make me a key. Give me a new realm to inhabit. And they're like, shh, absolutely. You got it. You don't even have to ask me, and I'm going to load you up with more keys than you'll know what to do with.
And they're free.
And they're all free. Yeah, you can keep them. You can give them back. I don't care. There's so many. There's so many of them. They're all over the place. Oh, did you lose your key? Don't worry. Here's another key. Yeah, open the door to that fucked up realm. There's enough noise to go around. Oh, 7 point something billion. Hey, no problem. There's enough noise to go around. You can double in population. We are not running out of keys. There's no limit on the keys. There's no limit on the cosmology. It's not like something's true. Everything's true. Everything is untrue. Since when did true matter? Here, have another key.
Here, have a key to the true realm.
Yeah, here's a key to a true realm. When you get tired of that, I got another key to another true realm. Thank you, cosmology maker. Thank you. No problem. Don't worry, I'm going to sign up for that Adyashanti retreat, and it's going to work this time. Oh, yes, it will. Oh, yes, it will. Locke Kelly was, you know, he was authorized by Adyashanti to speak, and, you know, some kind of, you know, Zen guy. He's got like 2 gold stars, 2 authorizations. It's in his biography.
2 gold stars.
He's got 2 authorizations to speak about these things.
Since kindergarten.
Yeah. I don't have any authorization to say anything about anything. I'm going to call Adyashanti and see if I can get some kind of, like, you know, emeritus authorization. Hey, Adyashanti, like, I like talking about this stuff, but I don't have any authorization. Maybe that's how come, like, my group is so small. Can I have an authorization? Who do I have to fuck around here to get an authorization? Who do I have to fuck around here to be noticed? Shit. God damn it. No one's going to say I'm enlightened, and I don't even know how to spell it. I'm doomed.
I started taking that Diamond Approach class.
Nice. The CEUs? Yeah.
Terrible.
How bad is it?
Terrible.
It's horrible, right?
Oh, my God.
I'm so sorry.
What a windbag.
It's pretty bad when you
realize
how stupid everybody is, too. You're like, oh, my God.
Are these recorded things or live things?
Well, I kind of came in late. They marked it down, so I finally just thought, well, I have nothing to do. I'll just take this class.
What the hell, yeah.
So there are some live things, but I'm watching recorded stuff. But the live things are just infrequently.
Yeah. So what's on Almas's mind, the old windbag?
Well, he sort of has this whole theory about there's not something about not an ego, but some sort of. I wrote it down because I don't remember anything. I have to take little quizzes, so
You better get this shit right.
You better get some stars.
Yeah. Pure consciousness individualized.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Thank you. So they're going to quiz you on that.
Well, if I want the continuing ed, I got to take a little test.
A little quiz, yeah.
Yeah.
What if you say it's like pure awareness individualized? Do you get it wrong?
Well, they give you, like, choices.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Pure hippopotamus individualized. How could you get this wrong? What the hell else could it be? You know, what could it be that you could possibly get it wrong? Because you can't regurgitate all the bullshit noise that Almas assigns to it. You're wrong.
Oh, there's a lot of noise.
A lot of noise. Yeah, of course. Oh. Yeah, that's why they call it the diamond heart of up your ass.
That's how, like, the entire educational system is, though. It's like regurgitate shit. You get, you know, A, B, C, D, or E. And whatever the teacher said in class is whatever one you pick.
This is the dilemma. It's okay. Like it's the cosmology maker, you know, get a key.
He's not a great speaker either. I mean, it's not like.
Yeah. He's not even funny.
They never are.
No. Ew. He's not funny at all. And he's not even like sort of.
He's got nothing.
If he was personable, he would be. Like at Omega and not teaching in some stupid college.
Next stop for that guy is Omega.
He was talking a little about a long chenpa.
Well, okay. Yeah. Sure.
He's more about the totality than the non-duality.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a really useful discernment. You know, for the last decade, I was really like on that, you know, duality, non-duality thing. But, you know, that didn't work for me. I'm going totality now.
I'm going totality, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going totality. And I have called Adyashanti several times, begging, literally begging for authorization. Authorization to know something.
Well, it's funny. I saw an interview with the two of them on like the Science and Non-Duality conference that was online.
Yeah.
Like here and there. But I mean, Ajahn Chah kind of shut him up in so many words just because he's like a better speaker, I think.
Yep, sure.
But it's not like he was negating what he was saying. It was just, you know, what's his name? Hamid or whatever his name is. He's just kind of boring, you know.
Yeah. Well, the truth is like that. It's pretty boring.
No.
That's why it's best discarding. You have to discard the truth to find the truth. Right? You need a thorn to remove a thorn. You have to discard the truth to find the truth. Then when you see that, oh, shit, this is just a bunch of noise inside a vacuous field, I ain't got a word for this. I'm going to call the Keymaker, cancel my subscription.
I'm going to get on the dole.
I'm going on the dole. I'm on the spiritual dole. Yeah, it might turn out to be a little easier that way. It's the pride of animation, right? So here's this so-called sentience. Here's this like life tickle, right? Our Nirsagadatta might say, you know, here's this consciousness it has come without your agreement, without your consent. So here's this life tickle. Here's this miraculous force of animation, sentient animation. You're like, so what? Leave it alone. The pastrami tastes much better when you leave it alone. But it's very, you know, it's just kind of, what would you call it, counterintuitive, right? Because it's so sparky, right? Sentient engagement is so sparky. You want to do something with it. You want to take yourself on the road. You want to play yourself on every phonograph in the neighborhood. You want to hear how your sound coming out of, you know, a dozen stereos, the systems. There's no crime in that. It just so happens that, you know, once you engage the curiosity of, you know, sentient wonder, and the anthropomorphization of that sentient wonder occurs, you know, with no effort, well, you're going to find all kinds of suffering. That's okay. You're just going to find a bunch of suffering. And guess what? That, you know, that so-called suffering has nothing to do with having done something wrong, having done something right. You know, attraction and aversion, they are not causal. They're just not. The engagement of sentient wonder, or the engagement in sentient wonder, is going to be accompanied by, you know, the marvelous vagaries of what we call circumstances, events, and highs and lows, and suffering and sensation, and coming and going, and receiving and losing, and living and dying, and being fit and being sick and every other thing, which is fantastic.
And what else are you going to do?
What the fuck else are you going to do?
Oh, you have some better idea?
You can't play Sergeant Pepper's over and over again and avoid the world.
You won't get very far.
You got to get out of the house once in a while. You know. Nobody signed up for Sentient Wonder. There's no soul fucking soul contract.
You sign your name real nicely too, like Don the Donald signs those executive orders.
Selecting your parents so that you could learn something on the earth plane. Fuck that noise. Who gives a fuck about your horrible fucking parents anyway? They're fucking horrible. You're fucking horrible. No one's getting out of this alive. You know, looking for assignment and choice and earth plane and lessons and the four agreements, you know, and the five Power Rangers and the six-pointed star, you know. What? It's like, what? Everything's just so fucking stupid. Religion is fucking stupid. And nationalism is fucking stupid, and political systems are fucking stupid. And I, you know, all this sentient wonder gets, you know, invested in all of this pride, pride of self, pride of true, pride of me, pride of mine, pride of gender. It's just like, oh, shut the fuck up. But, you know, try to avoid it. It's not going to work. Doing something about it, that's not such a good idea either. I mean, you can't help it, you know. You're suffering, you don't know why. You have irritability, restlessness, and discontentment. You drink, you smoke, you lie, you cheat, you steal, you shoot up, repeat.
And then hopefully.
You know, you do that for 30 or 40 years and then maybe you'll stumble into a meeting. I don't know. You know what I mean? It's like, what?
Or end up, yeah, with a hobo on the floor and cheap liquor and then...
Yeah.
Ta-da!
Yeah. Right. You're being played. You're just being played. This is sentient wonder, and you're the collateral damage. You're being played. There's nothing you can do about that. You can't get to that 12-step meeting any sooner than when you get to it. And if you never get to it and it kills you, there's nothing you can do about that either.
And either way, you're dead.
Yeah, that's right. You so, this.
Either way, if you're on your deadbed, you probably don't give a shit, right?
Yeah, you'd think. I hope by then. It'd be nice if that comes a little sooner, but I hope by then.
You're like, good times.
Yeah, good times. Yeah. Guess what? I didn't make any amends. Good times. I never could finish an inventory because I'm such a selfish bastard. I can't do a fourth step.
No, you're also still. I know, it's funny. You're like, just.
Look, if you take my resentments away from me, that's all I got left. I don't, you know, I can't.
What else can I nurse on at this point?
I can't live this life without all those resentments. Are you crazy?
It's so comforting and warm to have resentments.
Yeah, like, what do you got? You actually got something? Is there actually something on the other side of resentments? I don't believe that. I'm going to go get a hot dog at your meeting, but I'm not going to do anything about my resentments. Fuck you. They're not my problem.
Very different thing, seemingly.
It's just a bunch of noise. It's just noise. I'm not saying it doesn't hurt. It hurts a lot. It hurts a lot. Oh, I mean, a real lot. It really fucking hurts. But it's just noise.
You see how Val Kilmer got hassled for writing creepy tweets about Kate Blanchett?
What the hell was he doing, that guy? He's a cool guy. Was he kind of losing his mind?
I don't think so. I think he was...
Was he stalking her or something?
No, I think he just was enamored with her and was just, I don't know, writing tweets about her. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
So thought they were kind of creepy and stalky.
Oh, yeah. Well, actors are a little strange that way. They're not really that well put together.
Yeah, I mean, he's out there, I think.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was all that weird.
I'm telling you, it's good to have some celebrity gossip to get through a day. Because Almas isn't going to help.
No.
The fucking diamond approach isn't going to help. So, you know. I'd rather to get CEUs and celebrity gossip, because I would nail those, like I'd get an A in that shit. You know, they can't quite remember if like awareness and consciousness is individuated or habituated or, you know, variegated or invaginated or homogenized. But if you ask me about Val Kilmer, I can nail that shit. I got to get a different set of CEUs. I'm not spiritual enough to get to graduate from the diamond path.
You kept talking about, I think it was something about red sulfur or something. I forget.
Uh-huh.
Some sort of metaphor for like catching fire with the need to know the truth.
Ew.
He has some sort of mythology.
You think.
You know, gets it. Some sort of, I don't know.
Yeah.
You want to hear the best mythology of the day?
I do. I do. I've been waiting all day to hear it.
Some like preacher kind of Catholic guy or something. I'm going to mess this whole story up, but this bar owner, they like blessed a cake, a bunch of whores blessed a cake. And
all right.
Gay bar owner ate it. And then he was not gay anymore.
Are you kidding?
So this guy has like a video where he's like, I don't know. I'm just saying what happened. I'm not saying it's because they ate the cake. I'm just telling you, a bunch of whores blessed the cake.
And was it fortified with a bunch of androgens or something?
Holy mackerel. So that's what all the gay conversion therapy is about? Whore blessed cake. We could probably do like a song, you know, to the tune of Three Blind Mice. Whore blessed cake. Whore blessed cake.
How does it go after that?
Stop being gay. Stop being gay.
Don't put penises in your butt.
Don't put penises in your mouth.
Or your mouth. Unless you're female. Then it's okay.
Now we're getting somewhere. Finally.
So you should take it and like it.
I was trying to be spiritual, but now we're hitting it out of the park. Whore blessed cake. Oh God.
I just kept thinking about what's her name? Anandamayi, what's her name?
Anandamayi
Ma. Yeah, and her
giving her husband shocks.
Yeah, her electric cooch.
Anandamayi Ma, the electric cooch. Is that on your CEU thing?
Workshops in that at all? I mean, you know.
Is that one of the multiple choice answers? What is the nature of consciousness? Anandamayi Ma and her electric cooch. Correct. Maybe they'll have a program on that someday at Omega. Oh, God. Move over, J.P. Spears. Oh, God.
Actually, I think I have a picture here.
I think Francine might be trying to say something, but she looks completely frozen.
I think that must be what's happening in her picture.
Yeah?
Francine laughed. I was going to show her because I didn't know who she, if she knew what we were talking about.
She's back. She was just having a bandwidth problem.
This lady.
It kicks you off if you have a bandwidth problem because it will say, like, your internet's unstable, and then every once in a while it just totally kicks you off.
It can, yeah. If your signal strength drops, it'll just drop you. Yeah.
I thought it had good internet, but I don't know. Whatever.
Anything can happen.
Small space, you would think. I think it's this computer.
It must be. Something. It's definitely something.
Yeah. I sure know what it is.
So a universe made of stuff can be very lonely. That's the problem. You know, this sentient wonder field that comes unbidden makes it appear as if there's a universe full of stuff. Because there's so much, you know, sensation, right? There's so much sentience and imagination and animation. Purchasing keys from the cosmology maker is, you know, you can't stop it. So it, by virtue of it feeling as if there's a universe full of stuff, that can, let's say, create the hypnotic suggestion that you're small. Right? That your experience is isolated, that you're isolated by virtue of the nature of experience. It's the sentient wonder field falls under the sway of being isolated or individuated. Because the universe is so-called, you know, it's so huge. There's so much cool shit going on that you haven't been invited to. And that's the
in a panic instantly. I mean,
you're in a panic. Yeah,
you're either in a safety panic because you're like alone in a very bizarre.
Yeah. Yes. Right.
Or you're in a panic because there's so much shit to do.
Yeah.
You know, in a very very short period of time.
That's right. I'm in a panic because I don't know how many programs I can afford to go to at Omega. You know, the catalog comes out and it's like, oh God, what should I sign up for? Because my life is, you know, so lonely and disenfranchised that the only, you know, it's like the only relaxation I get is committing myself to spiritual programs. So the catalog comes out and then I have to figure out all the things I'm going to go to. And you're like, yeah, they're not going to help you because you're not alone. Because nothing's really going on here. It's like breaking the hallucination of being individuated, you know, the panic of individuation, that's not so easy to do. Partly because, you know, one is not privy to see it. Being the symptom of it doesn't make you necessarily privy to see the hallucinatory nature of it, the superstructure, let's say, you know, that of how individuation and overwhelm occurs as a consequence of the sentient wonder field.
It's like you're already in a fully assembled puzzle, but you have no idea where you've never seen the individual pieces.
You get put together. Yeah.
You have no idea what the backstory, you know.
Right. You don't know. That's right. You're fully assembled. You're writhing about in the misery of being fully assembled. Yep. Why? I mean, where does that marvelous existential grief that Paul H. was talking about the other night come from? It's not from the death of a father or things that happen in the life circumstantially that can of course affect someone's young impressionable consciousness in a deep way. That is not, if I can be so bold, you know, the source of this existential panic. That existential panic is there even if you're, you know, raised by so-called sober, loving adults. in, you know, a Christian household.
It's just expressed in a million different ways. That's why it's like you can't even addiction. You're like that. There, I mean, you could pick anything, you know, food,
anything,
whatever, shopping, you know,
anything and everything,
service,
yeah,
spirituality.
Yeah, you know, yeah, having Mikey move in. Anything. And you're not shown the blueprint. You're not privy to it. It's not shown to you. It's not revealed to you. It's not demonstrated to you. You're fully assembled. You're the product of it long before, you know, you have the wherewithal to say no. None of those Omega programs are going to help. There's nothing to help. Shinzen Young, you know, he's not helping anybody. Not that anyone needs to be helped or that you're better off if you have helped someone. It's not worth helping anybody. Jesus Christ. Help whom? Help whom with what?
It's like, might as well just go to the selfishness. Like, well, fuck, I don't know. That hedonism is like,
it's just so much, you know, stranger or, you know, formidable than any cosmology could possibly allude to.
Certainly isn't capitalism. I mean,
it's not capitalism.
Come on.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, the species at large, were there one, is pretty dumb fuck stupid. And the crap that's sold as religion is not helpful. That's not useful. Oh, well. You know, just because you take a correspondence course with Joseph Goldstein, it doesn't mean shit. You know, or if you get an autographed copy of a Sam Harris book, it just doesn't mean shit. Maybe it's not supposed to. That's probably closer to the truth, right? None of it's supposed to really do anything or mean anything. It's just kind of like hucksterism.
That's all this, yeah, does. It's like,
Yeah, that's probably the case. This, you know, this way you can just leave it all alone. It's just hucksterism. It's not going anywhere. It's not really designed to relieve anybody of suffering or provide a meaningful bridge to a different way to live. As if one way to live is much better than another way to live.
No, that sucks. Then you're just back in another bizarre, contrived kind of box of something. Whatever you've imagined.
Is Steven in Japan?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I mean, I got that picture, but I wasn't sure. I thought, I don't know.
Yeah, he's in Japan. He was in, I think they just, a day or two ago, arrived at Kyoto.
That's cool.
Yeah. I asked him as he was flying to Japan if he noticed that whether the earth was round or not. And he said I didn't he said I wasn't keeping an eye out. I said, did it feel like you were just flying like flat all the way to Japan? I said, can you see Doylestown from there? Or, you know, did it feel like you were like going around, you know, around Earth? And he was like, to tell you the truth, I didn't really notice. So that's not gonna help. Mm. Let's hope we can get some evidence of the round Earth from that, from him, but nah.
Oh, you don't think it's round?
I don't know anymore.
Is it actually there? Is there an Earth?
I'm wondering about that too. Who the kid's like, who gives a fuck what shape it is? Is it really there at all?
Yeah, let's go back a minute.
Yeah.
Isn't the Earth just just another idea?
It's got to be. It's got to be. It's just another idea, you know, cobbled together from a whole bunch of, you know, disparate sensations. Why it looks so beautiful, I don't know.
A lot of things look beautiful.
A lot of things do look beautiful. Yeah. Yeah,
murder sometimes looks beautiful.
Consciousness has a way of delighting itself in all things. Yeah. There might not be, you know, there might not be a replacement cosmology. It's like if the Earth's not round, it's flat. Well, you're like maybe neither. I mean, if this is just an itinerant void that dreams whatever it cares to dream within its own, you know, neuronal plasma, then yeah, it's, you know, you're not in a place. You're not in a time.
It can stitch together anything. I mean, that's kind of why I think YouTube is really fun right now. In some way, it's maddening, but it's like, pretty much if you can find evidence that someone has stitched together about anything, a little video, any, you know, some of it's compelling. You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of nice, you know, who knows how the neural net of the species at large, or the neural net of so-called dreaming consciousness, shifts into more subtle or curious cosmologies, you know, influenced by, you know, technological demonstration. It's not like there's anything actually there, but its own capacity for expressing itself in curious ways, enhanced, let's say, by what we might refer to as, you know, human technology, will shift the fabric of the cosmology.
It seems to be very quickly.
Yeah, it seems to be accelerating. The fabric of the cosmology is shifting, you know, faster or more malleably than we can keep up with. It's like consciousness might be piercing its own, you know, show. It might be seeing through its own, its own curious capacity to outdream itself. It's like caught up with itself.
That's how it feels in my own experience of like the more experience you get with it. It doesn't go as far. And so the cosmology can shift so fast, so completely. So it's so malleable that it's just like, ooh, you know, you can't drag it hard to maintain something for a long time or whatever.
Yeah. And in that case, you know, everything that's invested is at risk. you know, the church is at risk and the nation is at risk and the markets are at risk and the 1% are at risk and the billionaires are at risk and Putin is at risk and, you know, power holders everywhere that rely on, you know, a certain cosmology to maintain control. It's all at risk because the dreaming nature itself is accelerating. Who knows? So fake news and real news and the ability to manipulate truth through innuendo, through, you know, Kellyanne Conwayisms and Sean Spicerisms.
2 + 2 = 4.
Yeah, it's just like, hey, wait a second. What's, you know, what's true? What's reliable? What's ethical? What's moral? What should we do as a species? What decisions should we make? What sacrifices should we make? Who should we vote for? Right? What rally should we attend? It all seems to be, you know, coming curiously unglued. Which kind of makes sense. You don't know if it's dystopian or if it's awakening. And those might not be mutually exclusive. And it's not about flesh, blood, and bones anyway, really. So it's, you know, it's kind of difficult to know where to place your bets, what to believe in, what to hold dear. If you destroy the atmosphere for the sake of employment, it's like, that's like that can't work. That just can't work.
It doesn't even make sense. The whole thing is like so bizarre.
Yeah, that's, I know.
Like, yeah, I mean, it has to be very separatist and individualized and narcissistic because it's like, how can you consider the health of an economy without considering the health of people and
the fucking biosphere,
the planet, and the, yeah, like the planet. It's like
yeah, yeah. Hey, listen, we need
it's
full.
Like if there's no roof on your house, and you're like, I think we should fix the plumbing, or
definitely.
Well, maybe not plumbing is a good idea, but you know, some ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, let's get a roof. Maybe, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we're going to reach full employment if it kills us. It will.
What?
Wow.
For what? And for what? Yeah, you're like, for why are we doing this? What exactly?
I know. Yeah, no, it's just, yeah, it's boggling, mind-boggling. Yeah. Well, that's why this is so much fun. It's mind-boggling.
It's totally mind-boggling. Because you can't, you don't really know, like, if you really get kind of clear, more, a little more clear about it, you're like, where did anything start, though? Like, if there's no, you know, the chicken and egg thing, there is no solution to that. There is no, then it's like, I don't know, you know, like, did we just start a county because there was too much paperwork at a certain level and then people just started identifying with shit because we're crazy and that's just like what we do and then it's like spiraled yeah. into weird, you know, pride of all these bizarre things.
It's yeah. Like, yeah.
It's too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just pride of hallucination.
Yeah. It doesn't have anything to do with the other things because anything that you give it, if you're operating.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a certain silence behind all the noise. There's a certain kind of confidence behind all the noise. There's a tapestry of some kind back there. That is not confused. Yeah, it's not concerned with the coming and going of the creature. It's not restlessness. It doesn't suffer restlessness or discontent. It doesn't strategize. It doesn't ask what's in it for me. It's not a reason to go to Omega. And it does not have a cosmology. There's no cue cards, and there's no pop quiz. There's no claim to be made. There's nothing enviable about anybody's experience. If you've been authorized by someone, you should just kill yourself. Locke, put a blade to your own throat. There's no point in being authorized by anyone. Fucking stupid. Well, any questions?
What's the song again? What was it? The horse song?
Okay. Yeah. Poor blessed cake.
Where did you hear that, Francie? That was...
I don't know, the radio is somewhere, and then I looked it up and like watched the video of the guy talking about it, and I was like,
okay. No. Huh.
Makes sense.
Really crazy guy.
Yeah. I didn't know that homosexuality could be cured, but what should I say? Good news?
It was a rainbow cake. Sprinkles. Rainbow Jimmies.
Rainbow Jimmies.
Not those kind of Jimmies.
Well, listen, you know, I think those Rita's custard and shops are back open.
Kind of already?
Yeah, they're all open already, which means we can go get some Rainbow Jimmies.
Cool.
I know. That's right. Is anyone thinking of going to see Paul tomorrow night?
I'm thinking about it because he's close. It's close up here.
Yeah, for you, it's not that far.
I don't know. Is it going to be another one that's 12-step format where
it's going to
any questions. There was nothing provocative about that. It was just
most likely it's going to suck.
It's watered down worse than like before. It was better when he was just saying the same stuff, but now
I think tomorrow. I don't know if tomorrow is an AA centric event or a more non-duality ish event where he can speak more. You know, freely. I think he can speak a little more freely. So
I didn't say like the other ones were more specific that if it was a 12 step.
Yeah, Phoebe didn't leave us her phone number or nothing, to ask her any questions, and there's no email associated with it. So it's really like, hey, just come and, roll the dice.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're thinking of going if we feel up to it and the weather's nice. Pat may come with us and
oh yeah. Maybe we can if you're up this way early, I guess I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
But I'll probably go.
Yeah. All right. Well, who knows? Maybe we'll go up a little early and get a slice of pizza or something.
Pizza.
And some Jimmy's, Rainbow Jimmy's.
Rainbow Jimmy's up here yet. I don't know when that ice cream, the canal side thing opens.
Oh, a lot of fun.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us all on a Tuesday evening for some really excellent spiritual banter. And all right. I hope everyone is enlightened in the diamond way.
Oh, yeah.
Peace out. All right. Bye now.